This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date. Terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris. Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
And this is Karen Kilgariff.
Hello, my friend Karen.
Hello, Chris.
Oh, I didn't know you'd take that tone with me.
Oh, yeah, all the way down.
Just a lower tone.
To Chinatown.
Yeah, all the way down.
And back, I took it downtown.
And the Bay Area and back down? I went to see a concert in the desert.
Let's hear about it.
So at the beginning of this, you saw my, we were going to go in together with this topic.
On this story? This. Well, you go first. And mine's more of a tag. You actually have a story.
I mean, well, that's building this up. It's going to need...
I hear it's unbelievable, heart-racing.
This story is reliant on your tag. I just want you to know that ahead of time.
Okay, then I'm going to beef it up. I'm going to embellish.
Please beef it up ahead of time. You can add the beef whenever you see fit.
I'm going to sprinkle beef on top like a taco salad of your story.
Oh, now I'm hungry. I'm not a desert person. It was very hot. I went there for a memorial of more of an acquaintance, and I was in a house with people that very much knew each other, and then I left suddenly and went to this concert, but the drummer of Superchunk, one of my favorite bands, had gotten COVID, so I saw an acoustic version in the very hot desert. And add the beef whenever you want. It was not a band that they were uncomfortable. They said from the beginning, wow, this is, I sure wish we had a drummer. He feels fine and we're outdoors. It would be great if he is here, but he isn't.
A little drama, maybe some behind the scenes drama from the tone.
Yeah, I could hear some arguing and things being said that go back dozens of years. But it actually, they do have an album that is acoustic, and those songs were great. But I want to sing along like it's 1993.
Superchunk can do whatever they want to do. I think they're very talented. I wouldn't think of them first as acoustic.
No, they are allowed. I wouldn't say punk band, but I overheard the parking attendant describe them as a punk band from the 70s. And I wanted to correct him, but he was busy parking cars.
Yeah, he's not into details. He's more about, you know, big swings, right? Just general information.
Yeah. And it was a swing and a miss, but it was a big one.
Well, my only kind of lightly spiced ground beef that I've just sprinkled on top of this salad is that
so delicious.
You told me that you were going down to see them. And I was like, well, I get to see them here in Los Angeles. I don't even have to drive.
Oh, you had that from me.
I did.
You withheld
it. I didn't want it right in your face, throw it in when we were already fighting.
Yeah, yeah. That was a bad fight last week.
It was such a terrible fight.
I'm like, who are we? Super Chunk?
What are you, a drummer with COVID all of a sudden? So I was going to go see them at the Terragram Ballroom Sunday night, which I think was the night after you saw them in the desert.
Mm-hmm.
And then the show got canceled, and I was really excited to see them. It felt very like it's time to revisit the past and heal those old wounds as you stand in the Terragram Ballroom. But once I saw on Twitter, they were like, we're so sorry, we have to cancel. I was like, yes. So I get the credit of making a plan and making an effort and not being a weird hermit. But at the same time, I don't actually have to do anything.
Yeah. And I did the research that let them know they shouldn't do a second show in Los Angeles, because the one in the desert, they felt obviously, let's not do this in the big city.
Yeah, that's, well, because that's hard. Suddenly you're all like, you're supposed to be finger picking.
Hey, they did it.
Jams, total jams.
They were great, but yeah, it was just, it's, let's pretend we're a different band.
Yeah, it's probably not satisfying to them, especially having waited to go on tour. You're all excited. You're finally on tour again after the pandemic.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, wait, it's still the pandemic.
Speaking of waiting for satisfaction.
Hey.
We have a guest today that is a dear friend of mine and yours.
And mine?
I'm very excited.
Chris,
to have her
share
back.
Her.
I used to keep her to myself in a tiny house. Everyone, put your why do I always want to say put your hands together? Clap in your houses as you listen and at your office desks for today's guest, Tig Notaro.
Woo! Thank you. There's
thank
enough
you.
Of me to go around.
Easy, everybody.
Everyone, sit down, relax in your homes. There's enough of me to go around.
The irony that we didn't introduce you by saying she plays clubs and colleges all over the country is pretty amazing. Because we say that about every guest, and you actually, technically, you do play clubs and colleges all over the country, don't you?
Well, I mean, if I can be specific, theaters.
Yeah.
Yes, you can.
A lot of these colleges have theaters on campus. I just won't let go of the fact that you stopped doing colleges.
That we all stopped in 2003.
Well, you know, I didn't go to college, but I did go to colleges to do comedy.
All over this country.
Mm-hmm. My intro was going to be, today's guest hasn't been to college. Put your hands together for Tig Notaro. So
you
offensive.
Know what? That'll be the new catch-all intro.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Today's guest didn't go to college.
For anybody. Anybody, right?
Everybody.
Yeah. Is that your dog, or did you leave your door open?
She does have that vibe, right? Of like, hey, I'm recording right now. Well, this is my new puppy, Blossom.
Oh, hi, Blossom.
Can you see?
Hi. Yeah, I loved thinking of you being that casual that you would just have left your door open and a dog came in and started licking you and you not miss a beat. Yeah.
Just kind of be real calm about it.
I was going to say, Chris and I basically lived like that with our doors open and stray animals would walk into our house and then we owned them together.
I think I had the kitty come because I had my side doors. I had my own doors so I can leave in the middle of the night and take the
I had
know.
A door too, Chris.
Yeah, but you would have to go. You couldn't leave, like, get out of bed and roll out the front door and play in the street like I did.
Neither. You're right.
I was letting the
kitty.
He
got you on that one.
Yeah, didn't I? Yeah.
I'm embarrassed.
Good one. Good
this,
one.
Yeah. Welcome to, I'm going to one-up you. I was letting that kitty in probably for a longer amount of time than you know. That kitty was coming into my bed, giving me
I think now's the time to tell her how much time it was.
You know what this feels like?
A day
honestly?
Yeah?
My son Max called our family together and told us, I think it's time that I tell somebody this. I think it's time you know this. And we were waiting. And he said, when I was a baby, I used to eat our baby toothpaste directly from the tube.
How old is Max?
He'll be six in June. But the fact that he's been holding on to this and finally announced it gives me hope that there's not terrible secrets. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that is so sweet. He threw his own little toothpaste intervention.
Also, baby toothpaste is really delicious. Have you ever? It's sweeter and like kind of more flavorful than adult toothpaste.
Or it's bubblegum flavored.
Yeah, well, they're trying to lure you into brushing your teeth and not eating it, though.
No, that's bad.
I've tasted a little bit, but I just a very small amount. Not enough to where I had to announce it to my family that I'm eating tubes of toothpaste.
Yeah, and it's become a problem.
Yeah.
Guys, I got to get this off my chest before
Like that he felt like there was a safe amount of time that had passed, where he's like, I think I can go ahead and tell everybody this now.
Wait, it was Stephanie and Fluff, and everyone was in different rooms in the house, and he had everyone, we have to meet in the living room in 10 minutes.
Well, and there's two more cats. We have Kitty City over here now. We have
Kitty
three cats.
City.
Kitty City is in full swing over at the Notaro.
Oh my, I can't.
How many cats?
Three. It's Fluff, Skip, and Linus.
Do you ever call that cat and then he picks up the phone and goes, Kitty City, can you hold, please?
Well, it's just constant. We have so many calls at Kitty City. They're not, nobody's that calm when they answer the phone at Kitty City.
If you aren't already doing it, and imagine a cat that is an old-timey operator.
Yeah.
Just at a board, a button board.
And a little paw pushing down. Kitty City, please hold. Kitty City, can you hold, please? Kitty City. And we never get back to anyone.
So strange. Yeah, every call is left hanging. If that visual, if you aren't able to see it, you're left-brained or something, you're missing out, because that is a cat feverishly typing. I'll never get tired of it. I'll tell you that.
No.
Yeah. Be it a meme.
Don't get tired of any cat doing anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get tired of them dying on me.
Yeah. On you. On you.
Yeah, exactly. Why is my chest the resting place midnight? Easy.
Elephant graveyard for cats is Chris's chest. They all go there secretly.
Yeah, just wake up and a dead cat's on my chest like breakfast in bed.
Here we go again.
This again.
I could try and lick it back to life. Bathe it. You know what I mean. Lick it. Baby.
Yeah, like a mother, the nice way.
Yeah, a mother with a mustache. and they do exist. They do exist.
Yeah.
It's going to be me in a couple of years. If not now. If I don't stay on top of things.
Yeah, really. Max's next big confession is like, you got to shave that mustache. He gathers the family around. Tega, I have to tell you that I think of you like once a month.
Oh.
Because... for many reasons, but because there is a tarot card reader. Mm-hmm. It's astrology-based tarot readings. They look so similar to you, except for they have a Russian accent. And every time I go, they're really good at reading tarot cards, but it's always a bummer. They're like, oh, Taurus. But it looks like you doing a character just for me in this way that...
just so you'll think of me.
It isn't that funny, but it's really crazy because it is like it's the hair and the general kind of chill vibe, but then with a Russian kind of twist. I'm gonna have to send you a link.
Please,
I think you'll like it.
Please do.
I not to one up Karen. I think of you every day because on my wall there's a poster of a teenage Tom Cruise. if you. Do you have nearby some Wayfarer Ray-Ban?
They're downstairs. And I feel silly because they are my favorite sunglasses. And I feel like one of those people that looks like a celebrity that's trying to feed into it more. You know when people do that? Hear that you look like someone and then you just... And I'm not trying to do it, but...
Karen, if you ever... See, taking a pair of sunglasses. Just the smile. You have like this, you can morph into Tom Cruise and there doesn't need
Did you see by chance the movie I was in, Army of the Dead?
Of course I did.
Okay.
And I have some questions about it.
Okay. I was going to say there's some pictures of me where I'll show you on Zoom and our listeners. All of a sudden it's the three of us.
Welcome back, Tig.
Yeah, thank you. I took a bit of a break.
Yeah.
But no, I was a little alarmed how much I looked like Tom Cruise in this, you know, enough to wear, right?
There's something
it's
called
silly.
There's a Top Gun factor that's happening a little bit.
Yes. Flight suit.
Yeah.
Flight suit.
That. Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, can I just ask really quick, when that trailer came out, and I am sorry because I only saw the trailer, but was it pre-COVID? Was that pre-COVID, though, when that came out? Would I have seen it in the theater, or did I see it at home by myself?
Nobody has seen it in a theater. Oh, okay. The trailer?
The trailer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You saw it alone by yourself. Is that what you said?
Yes, that's what I'm asking. Because I have a memory, and maybe it was just because that's how people were talking about it on Twitter.
Yeah.
But when you appeared in the trailer, I felt like people cheered. But I guess that was just in my house.
Yeah.
But it was just like, you're like halfway through the trailer, right? You step in and you have like a fucking grenade launcher or something.
Gas can. I have a gas can.
Yes.
And it wasn't a theater. If you close your eyes and imagine, like, maybe a hypnotist brings you back to that moment, you realize the crowd cheering is just Blossom barking.
She's like, or snoring.
Hey, wow, perfect timing. Did you hear that?
And I had that kind of like a quarantine psychosis where I was just like, yeah, yeah, I'm just seeing people everywhere. Yeah. Yeah, she's done it. Look at her go.
Thank you, houseplants. You've been terrific.
Yes.
Well, if I can just follow up everyone thinking about each other, I think about both of you. I don't know the exact amount of times, but it's very frequent. And I'm sure I've probably said it to you both, and you probably both hear this from many people, but you are two of the funniest people living on the planet. And I was thinking earlier about how, of course, you both connected, you know? Like, of course, of course, of course, of course, you know?
Thanks,
and, Jake. Well, it's true, though. It's ridiculous. I mean, my brother and I, you haven't met my brother's wife yet, have you, Chris?
No.
Okay, my brother and I had a night at his house in Maine. He lives in Maine now.
He left Denver,
he's in an old farmhouse that's beautiful in Maine. And he and I did a whole Chris Fairbanks, you got to see this video. You got to hear this. Pull up that clip where blah, blah, blah. And we just went on and on. She was dying laughing.
Good.
And you know what sparked it?
I was going to ask.
My brother said something like, oh my gosh, so-and-so he's hilarious. He's the funniest. And I said, wait a minute. He's the funniest? Would you really say he's the funniest when somebody like Chris Fairbanks is alive?
Oh, that's sweet.
Turned to his wife and we just went through the greatest hits. And then I showed them the Rastafarian bit that my brother hadn't even seen. And she was dying laughing.
Because being in that situation where someone's trying to sell a person and they're just, it's with videos they randomly find
it's
on YouTube.
It's the worst.
Because I'm always like, well, not this one.
Hold on. Like,
they're funnier in person. No, this is long.
Yeah, I do
she
that
was
with
dying.
With Henry Phillips to people all the time. And I'm
oh,
like,
me too.
Pull up a random kitchen video and I'm like, that was good, but you got to see one of the classics.
There's a better one.
And then they're like, when can I leave the room?
You know, the best Henry Phillips video is you and your fucking coffee when he brings his big coffee cup and he goes to vote. In someone's garage.
It is. You're right.
It's so perfect. It's the most perfect comedy video. It's you and your fucking coffee. And all he does is go and spill coffee everywhere. Because he's the guy that won't not bring a gigantic mug of coffee everywhere he goes.
It is. Yeah,
and that's one of those stories where if you shared it with somebody, they go, oh, okay.
Yeah,
you're like, no, you gotta see it. You gotta see Henry Phillips. He's the funniest. But to follow it up, my brother did say, and you're right. That guy is not the funniest person.
I love it. He's the best. I love that when he was doing that sports talk radio program, I called in and just revealed. I think he probably had to know. I don't know about
sports.
Sports. Sticks or balls. Popeye. But I do know how to talk around subjects. I'm very good at that. If there's something that's supposed to be talked about, I can veer away from it. So I'm perfect for a sports talk radio show. And this is my audition. But yeah,
guys, please call in and cast Chris on your radio show, terrestrial only.
Please. Drive please. Time, classic, clear channel, bass.
He's got it. Get him.
Well, I love your brother, and I love you, Tig.
I love you. And Karen, I love you.
Thank you, Tig. I love you, too.
And I know there's a while that I should apologize for where I texted you weekly telling you that Stephanie and I couldn't stop listening to your album.
No, no. Never apologize for that.
At the Bootleg Theater. We couldn't stop. We could not stop.
It really mattered because I will tell you this.
Okay.
It's hard enough to put whatever you think is good out and stand behind it. Mm. But guitar comedy, oh, it's rough. And so this thing where you were just like, I need to tell you, it's getting crazy or whatever. The enthusiasm, it was just like, because I give Chris shit about this all the time where he'll be like, it was a terrible audience and I was eating it. And I'm like, you're wrong. I've seen you do this to yourself. You're completely wrong. You don't understand. And I know I do it to myself too, which is probably good. Like, we're not sitting there going, we killed it every time or
nailed
whatever.
Nailed it.
But with something like that, we were like singing songs. It's just very vulnerable in a way that I kind
it's incredible.
Didn't it's understand
it's
until
incredible.
It was out there.
It's incredible.
Thank you. That meant a lot.
Did you discover that album recently, Tig, or are you talking years ago when you first?
Years ago when it came out, and then I turned Stephanie on to it, and her head exploded. And then, I mean, to this day, we still reference it or sing the songs to each other. It's such a part of our lives, and it's really one. I don't always enjoy a comedy album, just like I don't always enjoy a comedy special. But man, do I love your album.
Thank you.
It's so, I mean, aside from your voice being so, so beautiful, but the comedy and also the, how you clearly don't care about switching between comedy and heartbreaking moments and it, I mean really where you're like, oh, I feel that, and that felt like a real emotion in that song, and then you say something so ridiculous and then you're back to like destroying me. You know, it's, I've never seen anybody do it like that. And one of the other greats, as we've talked about, is Henry Phillips.
Oh my God,
you both do that. That's why I wouldn't, when you say guitar comedy, we all think of parodies, we think of like playing along to joke telling, and you there's enough feel heartfelt moments that is kind of what I walk away with the most, like that business situation song. Someone posted that. I love just the details in it. It's not necessarily jokes. You don't have jokes in the lyrics.
But I think also the important element is that you do so many different things, Karen, and if you are one of those people where the audience can rest assured that they're in good hands. So whatever it is that you're doing, you can sit back and go, this is going to be incredible.
You know what I just realized? I think that you have a calming tone to your voice that I don't have. I think sometimes my voice brings people anxiety. You don't know where I'm going to go with a sentence. You do have a tone to your voice that lets people know it's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. You know what? I think I'm doing an impression of my psychiatric nurse mother where everything is a little bit like, let's bring this down. Yeah. Everything's fine. It's that, but it's funny to hear that because of course my experience of doing comedy always was like, I'm going to get on that stage and I'm going to fight these people one at a time. Uh-huh. Like, it was so aggressive and so...
And you would. I saw you do it one at a time. You kick their teeth in and kick them out the door.
I'll fight you all and you'll still laugh at my jokes. So it was always... That's a very nice... it's always good to hear other people. I think that's a thing in comedy that's so hard. And I think coming up in the 90s, no one ever was nice to anybody about their sets. It was so competitive until we all got to LA, I think. And people kind of started to realize, like, oh, we have to be a group and support each other. Mm-hmm. But I always felt like antagonism, or like I had to be, you know, ready with a quip or something like that. So that's really, I like that, you know, the older I got, I realized like, oh, there's plenty for everybody. We're fine. Yeah. I'm fine. I'll get mine.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a fight. anymore.
No.
And it
no.
isn't. Things have changed. Even skateboarding was like that. There's like a tough guy thing in the early 90s, like a territorial thing. And I can always draw parallels with comedy and skateboarding, and people love to hear them. But that's kind of
good.
Gone.
He's doing it again. Come gather around.
There, yeah.
Chris's panel. Chris is starting his panel.
But yeah, it's just kind of gone away. We're in a better place. The 90s mm-hmm. were terrible, but great for music.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's true.
Yeah, I just wanted to end the sentence with that.
You loved the Indigo Girls too?
Oh. In general, when you're playing drums, you look like just a kid. You were like turned into a child on the drums. Your smile, you had like a look on your face that was not
normal.
One of your Tig character faces. And I'd seen all of them. All Tig and I used to do in our tiny house is do little characters, try them out on each other in the hallway, and then we'd go to our quarters. And that was the show.
You'd go into your doors.
I'd go in my doors.
Side door.
I'd go through the wall.
Yeah, that's amazing.
What's
every
still
time.
One of my favorite memories is us at Sarah Silverman's roof party. And for about a half an hour, wasn't it the three of us doing bits where we were pretending to end conversations and jump off the roof? Remember that? Over and over, where we were just kept finding spots where we were just like, oh my God, that's crazy. I have to get up at 7:30. I'll see you guys later. And then just jump. Run toward the...
My favorite that Tig has done many times is at a party that isn't her house. We've maybe talked about this before, but the...
The old file again.
Yeah, why not? This is number 562. I've done it twice.
Yes.
But yeah, if you do this at home, if you're listening or in your office, if you're ever at a party and you don't live there, just go out and announce, all right, everyone, I'm about to go to bed, so 10 more minutes. That's my favorite. Tig has a lot of party jokes, mm-hmm. and that's the best one.
Everyone, just want to let you know I'm going to bed in like 10 minutes when it's 9:30.
People will start cleaning up, and then word gets around that you don't live there, and it's just...
Yes, but my point is always... I don't have to live there to be going to bed in 10 minutes. Yeah.
No. Now, which of these is going to be my room? I was serious. I drive by our little house all the time, Tig. I just want to look at it.
Yeah.
It looks great.
What neighborhood?
It was in Venice.
Abbot Kinney area.
Yeah, Abbot Kinney area. But when it still had an edge to it. Mm-hmm. Now it's Rodeo Drive, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember when I had like a fever? I was sick for like 3 weeks and a plumber came over, and for some reason, this is kind of graphic, but the whole, our pipe burst, and like the neighborhood, we were sitting on the neighborhood's sewage.
Mm-hmm. And by choice. Said,
he was like, he said, yeah, and we loved it. I was addicted to this stuff. I'm like, I get so much good thinking done with this 104 fever. But that was, I was sick because of all the just airborne bacteria that was maybe it's good we don't live there anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
But was the story about the plumber coming over?
It was, I mean, you know, I was hoping you'd add some spicy beef to that one too, which is gross to talk about when you're talking about a broken septic system.
We were basically just using under the house as our toilet.
Yeah, along with all our neighbors.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Should we go to commercial?
Yeah.
And really just take a deep breath on this whole idea?
Yeah. It's commercial.
When I was little, we had a septic system at our house because we lived way out in the country. So I guess we weren't on the city sewage line. And I have a very early memory of standing in the front yard, and my dad had taken the lid off the septic tank, and we were just watching shit and stuff go by because it was like clogged up and stuff. And just being like, oh no, like it was a right. And we had toilets that would back up all the time because it was a septic tank.
Well, I mean, what else are you going to do in a small town but watch poop roll by. You know,
get out here.
That much else to do.
It's a Saturday.
Hey, other children, gather around.
Kids.
We're gonna watch the septic tank churn. Look, a hair comb.
Who flushed a comb?
My old dolly.
My new dolly.
Dive. Worth it. Totally worth it. Yeah. Septic systems. No one knows how they work, but they do.
Some people know.
We'll never know.
Yeah.
There's a couple people who know.
Yeah.
Two people work for
the city.
We got to get them on the phone right now.
Hello, city comptroller.
Is this a sketch show?
It is. Mm. It's called call people instead of having a punchline at the end of a sketch. You just get on the phone.
Chris, you said Tig had characters that she did in the house when you lived there. Were there some other ones that should be brought up right now?
Well, there's the character that is leaning against a wall in a kind of uncomfortable position, but kind of all the weight against the wall. And this is also a person that says it's time for bed.
Yeah.
A lot of these characters, showtime was at night before bed.
I love bedtime.
Yeah. And the jokes.
It's a celebration.
And the jokes that precede it. So she'd lean against the wall, and it's hard to describe because it's physical comedy. Then she'd go, all right, well, see you later. And stay in that leaning against the wall position as she would just go walk all the way to her room. So if you're like leaning against a wall like a cowboy and it's like, all right, time to go to bed and then stay.
Hold the position. Hold the position.
Hold that.
And then go about your life because that's just the way you stand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Laying in bed like John Wayne leaning against a wall, mm-hmm. but it's just a pillow.
Now, Tig, do you have a dance background? Is that how you could do that kind of physical comedy?
I do have a dance background. I was in ballet once when I was 4. And I've just really used that for years.
Yeah.
With my comedy career. I get asked that all the time if I have a dance background. Mm-hmm. My mother actually was a ballerina and she signed me up for ballet when I was 4. And then the class would all get together in a circle and put their hands behind their backs because the teacher would go around and put a piece of candy in their hands. And the teacher stopped doing that one day. And I was like, I'm out.
Bye.
Yeah. Yeah. See? Yeah.
It's slowly preparing that child to know that they have to stay unhealthily petite in a career.
Right.
Okay. You know what candy was like. It's over now.
It's over.
Yeah.
Forget it.
Now stand on the tops of your toe knuckles.
Toe knuckles.
Yeah. Your toe knuckles. Yeah. I was just going to do a visual and I realized that's bad podcasting, but a lot of these children, they make them stand on their toe knuckles. What if I just kept saying it?
Well, I was going to start talking about foot and toe health, which drives Stephanie crazy. But I've gotten very into foot and toe health.
Oh.
Are you familiar with like the barefoot world? Like barefoot movement where you see people, you know how maybe
hippies?
You'll see somebody walking around in bare feet or those like shoes that have little toe things to put your toes in?
Oh, the toe shoes.
Okay.
Oh,
yes.
Those are
everyone's
the worst shoes.
Yes. Everyone is like this guy with the toe shoes or this one walking on stage with no shoes on. It's for a reason. And let me just insert my commercial here. It's fascinating. If this interests you at all, as you get older, you know how your toes get all mangled? You see people with like toes shooting off in different directions.
Yeah,
and, like
ginger root. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like ginger root.
Yeah.
Shoes these days are made, everybody's like, I need support. I need to get shoes with good support. Well, all that support is keeping your foot still when you're in a shoe, and you should be barefoot because all of your toes and your feet should be moving when you walk, and your toes should be able to separate, and it shouldn't go away as you get older. It's because shoes are made to look nice, but they cramp your toes and your feet. So those people that are barefoot or wearing the ugly toe shoes, they're actually doing it to make themselves feel better.
You live life to feel better. It's not a fashion show, right?
It is not. It is to a certain age.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh my God, my back. Oh my God, my toes. Oh my God.
So you're saying I have to start wearing Tevas or Birkenstocks?
I would just say look up the barefoot movement. There's barefoot shoes aside from the little toe slots you put your toes into. Look into it. It makes a lot of sense. I'm just, glad Stephanie isn't here to hear me bringing this up on this podcast.
She'd get upset.
She's just like, enough with the foot and toe health.
I have a thing. It's the op, because there's also people that enjoy feet in a in a scandalous way. They have magazines of feet and they pay for pictures of feet. And I'm not shaming that, but I'm the opposite. I really don't want to see your toes, even if you put time into them. I just, let's just keep them covered.
Keep them a secret. Yeah.
They're not a great, when people do have really, I guess, nice feet or whatever, I feel like they're just so lucky because it's a hard thing. They're just, you're already behind the eight ball in terms of what you're going to get. Right?
Yeah.
It's just not, odds are your feet are going to be kind of gross.
Yeah. But
unless you take care of them.
Yeah. Unless you go barefoot everywhere.
Well, what? Not everywhere. No, there are barefoot shoes that just give your foot a little bit more room up front where the toes are. And I don't always wear them, but I do have those now and I just have more awareness. And I'm sorry that I just lost a lot of your listeners over toe and foot health.
No,
I was more afraid that you were saying it that you have to go barefoot in a city where people spit on the ground as if it's their job or spit their gum places. Or like when growing up in the country, there were always long gravel roads that like, you know, you just simply, that wouldn't be a choice. That would just be hell. And it would take you forever to get up the road.
Yes. And that's why you put on a barefoot shoe.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm mistaken thinking you're saying barefoot. It's like there's a shoe that's like it. Oh,
yeah, you can be barefoot or you can wear a barefoot shoe, which gives your feet room.
You are talking about those shoes that are little toe gloves.
Those are some. Then there are others that are not the little toe gloves.
Please don't get upset. Please don't be mad.
I am furious. I have never been so upset. There are, you can be completely barefoot. You can put your foot into a foot glove, or you can put on a shoe that's normal looking, that is a quote unquote barefoot shoe. And it just gives your foot a little bit more room where your toes are so they can spread out and do the work they're supposed to do to stay healthy.
So in order to provide that kind of room in a shoe, you are describing like a classic clown shoe. A bulbous fan out.
It comes with a clown nose.
Yeah. Fuffle! Sorry, Scott, that really is good. That's one of Tig's many. A lot of people don't know about her sound effect work.
Her horn character. Her nighttime horn character.
That's all that character does. Falafel. So now I'm imagining. I guess maybe I can get an insole that has little compartments that will separate my piggies.
Piggies hate to be separated. Yeah, but it's for your best interest, especially for when you get older and you don't want to collapse and fall over because your feet are all like this.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Plantar fasciitis.
Yeah.
Well, somebody's got to go to the market.
Well, you know, the little piggies did go to the market.
Yeah. The other one.
Yeah.
Then another one laughs all the way to the bank, I think. We never know which job is for which.
But, yeah.
I am someone that I'm just a tenderfoot and I cannot, like when I go back to Montana and there's any river hangout or anything, I got to wear shoes. I will, even if it's round, polished gravel and I'm barefoot, my knees knock together and I just faint face first into the water. Meanwhile, my friends can tap dance on glass. I just don't know why. My feet are
But fainting face first into the water sounds way more Montana than tap dancing on glass. So it seems
It's just how a cowboy ends the day.
Yeah.
It all sounds very carnival to me. I don't, who are these friends of yours? Who are these people?
It is like a circus act. All of my friends are able to walk on gravel. And I am not. I react like everything is a Lego. And I just, it hurts so bad. I have the worst, most tender feet. I got to do something to toughen them up.
Yeah, you should. How about you just take a razor right to the bit bottoms of your feet and just do cross hatching?
Yeah, like a cutter.
That's a really good idea.
It really is. Build up the scar tissue. Something's got to do it. So you think a razor's the way to go?
I mean, you could do a razor. You can do a kitchen knife.
Okay. Well, I'll get started.
Box cutter. Just real quick.
Yeah, just get it over with.
Mm-hmm.
Take you during, you have like multiple podcasts now.
I have two.
One. And that's like more than one.
That is.
Confirm it. Yeah. Tell us about them.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I have a weekly podcast, an advice podcast, where I try to give earnest advice. And then a lot of times it'll go off the rails, of course, because I realize I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And then I also have a podcast called Tig and Cheryl True Story, where Cheryl Hines and I talk about a new documentary every week. And those are the two podcasts. Don't Ask Tig is the advice one, but
those both sound great.
Yeah.
What's the best advice that you've heard yourself give that you actually were like, oh, wait, that
I nailed it. Yeah.
That is good.
You know what? Honestly, I don't know or remember, but I will say the advice that I do always give people, which is something that stuck out to me. I heard this bit of advice. It's not my own. I tweaked it because it used to be very specific about a particular person in your life. But I always say that the best gift you can give anybody is a well-lived life of your own. And I feel like that is so empowering and freeing, because when you think about family members and friends, and if they're not taking care of themselves or they're not happy, it weighs you down, you know?
Right, of course.
But if somebody's out living their life or they're just free of whatever it is, then it frees you up. And so I always love that. And I always try and think about it for myself. So that's what I always mention to people.
Yeah, it is. And
that's
great. That can be applied to so many things, like living your life. Even if it means they live their life so much they don't have time for me. You are looking at someone as like they're happy and that brings me peace, or they're doing everything they can. Because there's
so great.
Yeah, so many people I think of that I love that they aren't doing well, and that it's They don't realize that it's affecting other people.
It's complex.
That's complex.
What I always say to people.
I like that.
That's a good one.
What about on the other podcast with Cheryl Hines? What's a documentary you've watched recently that you wish everyone would watch? Or that you just loved? You don't have a documentary podcast with Cheryl Hines, do you?
I don't even know Cheryl.
It's such a good brag, though.
Cheryl and I have been pals forever.
A long time. I remember I was living with you. Like, we were both just not much going on. And how'd you become friends with her again?
She saw me do stand-up, and she... we've been friends ever since. She came up after just cackling and what have you. And we just have like nonstop silliness in our relationship. And so the documentary is just a jumping off point to chat and whatever. But I really, you know, I'm probably thinking of that, Theranos documentary, right now, because my wife is watching the series, and then she went back and listened to my episode of the documentary And then there's also this one called Chicken People that I really
enjoy.
Someone
just told me to watch that.
Yeah. It's
Chicken People.
It's so silly. And then Donut King. I just watched Donut King.
Oh,
Have you heard of that?
Yeah. No.
It is so great. And it's not what you think it's going to be. When I first heard that we were going to be watching a documentary about donuts, I was like, great. I love a donut.
Yeah.
Man, is it, it's a great documentary.
I haven't watched it because so many people have described it enthusiastically, telling me to watch it, that they just tell me about it. And I'm like, well, now I don't need to see it.
No, like it's so good. And it really surprised me. I'm also always a fan of like The Staircase. It's, you know, I never get over that. It's kind of like the go-to.
I've watched that twice.
Yeah, it's just so good. And then, you know, there's another documentary that I really love, and it's so weird to say that I love it because... Oh, and obviously you're a true crime person, Karen, but we would never cover this particular one, but it's so devastating, is Dear Zachary.
Oh, God.
Like,
yeah,
it's, you know, I always tell people when they say, why wouldn't you, if you love the documentary, it's so weird to say I love the documentary. But when I say it's just so, I truly had to stop like three times and have a serious boo-hoo.
Yeah.
Actually, Chris, you and I lived together years ago when I watched that documentary. And, I love a twist and a turn, you know?
Yes.
That's what I really love. And sometimes when documentaries will be just very much just straightforward documenting something, I'm like, yeah, it was good. It's fun. I love going in and just being like, where is this gonna go?
Yeah.
You know?
Can I ask, have you seen the documentary Tickled?
Yes. Yes, I have. Yes, I have. And we did an episode of that as well.
Oh, good. Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. April Richardson and I saw that in the theater, and there was only about six other people in the theater. And when that movie ended, we all turned to each other, strangers, and went, holy fuck. Everybody in the theater went crazy together as a group. Like, what did we just watch? That was insane.
Yeah.
It was super funny. But I mean, that movie is like, it's unbelievable.
It is. It is completely unbelievable and not what you think you're going in for. And that is my favorite documentary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I watched it.
I mean, not Tickled, but I'm saying that type where it's just like, whoa.
Yes.
Especially because I went and saw it at the silent movie theater place. And afterwards, Nathan Fielder, or whatever his name is, interviewed the filmmaker, and he talked about how it was strictly going to be a documentary about these weird wrestling group, like or tickling groups, like they were wrestling teams. Like, that's an interesting sport. And you watched that happen in the documentary too, but he really talks matter-of-factly about how it turned into a different documentary as he was making it. And you can't plan on that, but that usually is the thing I look for in a documentary, like where they're like, well, now it's about this bizarre world.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
When you feel, I hate when I'm watching a documentary and you can feel the outline, you can feel where they put in like where you know the director is going, hey, why don't you do this? Or, hey, sit here with your friends and have a conversation. And you know what? Just that whole vibe. I'm like, I know you have to put in some of that sometimes to string things along. I understand.
Right.
But man, when you get some of that grittier stuff in a document where you're just like,
And during the Q&A, the filmmaker talked about how that weird, the Tickle Master guy, who he was pretending to be all these people, he would show up at screenings. He's actually a fan, oddly, of the film, and he would ask questions.
Really?
And he'd be like, I don't like how you showed me in this. It's kind of like a negative light, but I do like this about, like, he would compliment it. even though it was about him being a villain, he's like, it is good filmmaking. I'll give you that. Like he described it like the guy actually said nice things and he would show up and heckle and be insane because he was a crazy guy.
And he has the money to travel around to go basically to all the screenings when it first came out.
He was like, I'm looking around this room right now because he very well could be here. And then that added this element of fear with everyone watching. I feel really lucky to have seen that. Also, the new Jimmy Savile documentary but it's very gradual. You don't really see it coming. I mean, they allude to things, but it ramps up in the end. Again, it's a tragic documentary, but it's so fun to watch.
We're about to, I haven't seen it yet, but we're about to do Bad Vegan. I don't know.
It's great.
Okay. Yeah.
But I will say this without giving spoilers. I found it, maybe this is similar to what we're just saying, or maybe this is another type of documentary where you kind of can't figure out whose side you're on or what you're supposed to think. Mm-hmm. I like that when it's not like, here's the poor people who are being exploited by the Tickle Master, and here's the Tickle Master that we can't, he's out.
What The Staircase was. It's like the way it flipped back and forth, it's so crazy making, or you're just like, wait a minute,
this could be anything. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally.
But oddly, with that movie, I had seen the Unsolved or the Forensic Files episode prior, so it kind of was spoiled for me.
For which one?
For the staircase. Yeah. It was
just not to go off on The Staircase, but do you feel like that guy did it?
Yeah, very, yes. Very, very, very much.
I do too. Because
well,
I don't think it's owls.
Yeah.
It is definitely not owls. But also in the beginning, when it was like a Forensic Files or whatever those other episodes where they would cover it. The first time around when they covered it, they presented it as he definitely did it, and this is what happened. And then there was almost like the reboot reapproach where it was like, he's actually been railroaded or whatever.
Oh.
And then it was the reveal of what happened in court, which was them saying he has had homosexual affairs with sex workers. And then people are like, he's getting railroaded because they don't like that in the North Carolina or wherever they live in the South. And then this one was almost like taking all of that 10 years later and being like, all right, well, now we're going to go and basically just be in his house.
Yeah.
And you can try to see if you can see for yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I thought was so interesting that Cheryl pointed out on that episode was that I completely missed. And I was like, there it is. There's the proof. But she said, imagine, because when he called the police after she was found bloodied by owls. I guess that's an internet theory. It's in the documentary.
His neighbor got attacked and then basically came and suggested it. Then it took off.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So they have the audio of him calling the 911 and he told them my wife fell down the stairs and come quick, that type thing.
Yeah.
And then the obvious thing, first of all, if I found Stephanie at the foot of the stairs in a pool of blood, I wouldn't think she fell down the stairs. But Cheryl said, can you imagine your loved one is at the foot of the stairs in a pool of blood and hanging up the phone saying, come quick.
Like,
you would stay on the phone. What do I do? If you were in that real moment, you would be like, I'm not going to hang up the phone from the parent. I wouldn't be like, oh my gosh, my wife fell. Hurry, click. You would be like, what do I do? I apply pressure? What do I do? I don't want to lose. This is my lifeline, talking to this person.
Right.
And when she said that, I was like, oh my gosh,
that's a great fucking point.
That's such a good point.
Oh my gosh.
You don't hang up and start cleaning up the place because you're a neat freak.
No. Or whatever.
Yeah.
No. I wanted to look nice. On the phone.
Yeah.
Can I say what my moment of that was? Mm-hmm. And it was because at the same time that that series was on, Breaking Bad was on. Uh-huh. And in like, I watched that series and then, and there was the part, and I think it was like a couple, it was like maybe the second to last episode or near the end. And he was, I think it was when he was out on bail and he was like awaiting that trial. And let's just say this, that trial was fucked. Like that blood spatter expert was completely fake. He was mm-hmm. a liar. Like there were so many things in that case that were just like, it has to get thrown out. This is yeah. just not how you can't do trials like this. But yeah. My thing was, I had just seen that this episode where he was out on bail and then the documentarian was asking him questions, and instead of standing there talking, he was doing stuff around the kitchen and he kept opening and closing cabinets, right? And I was just like, the fuck's he doing? Like, he just kind of keeps opening and closing these cabinets.
Yeah.
And then like that week in the episode of Breaking Bad, and it was near the end of the season of Breaking Bad, the main guy, Walter White, is like talking to his wife and he had just buried something and done a bunch of shit, yeah. right? And the wife is like, where were you last night? Whatever. And he's, who wants breakfast? And he starts opening and closing the cabinets. And oh. I went, oh, fuck. That's right. That's what people who yeah. are lying do. They pretend like busy work.
Yes.
So they don't have to make eye contact. They don't have to be still.
Yeah.
They don't have to go, what the fuck am I going to do? This is crazy. I'm being railroaded. They do this kind of like,
look over here, look over here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, and yeah. maybe that's fake, but it was just to me, I went, oh my God, that's the exact same action.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's, so, I mean, there's obviously so many gaping holes in that story. I also found it very odd when the attorney gave up on his Michael's trial. And I was saying to Stephanie when we were watching it again, because I've watched the series probably like three times, but I said, the way he's sitting on the couch with his kids and just saying, well, he's moving on from the trial. He's not going to rep me anymore. Should I just say, never mind? And to me, that felt like, if you were innocent, you'd be like, you can't.
Yeah.
We've
yeah.
gone this far. What do you mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just to be like, meh, well, he's tired of it. He's yeah. ready to move on. You know, I just felt like yeah. that was a little telling, because if I were innocent, I would be like,
yeah,
please. What do we do? What yeah. do we do?
Also, if you're innocent, don't you think you'd be like, hey, can you turn that fucking camera off? Like, this is the yeah, worst moment yeah. of my life.
Right.
There's never, there's so, it's very performative. It's,
yeah.
And, which also doesn't mean anything really, except yeah. for this is the way we all go through the world going, am I getting a good vibe from this person or do I not yeah. like this? And
but,
things
yeah.
like that, if somebody is like, it's the same thing when he came out of the courtroom and he started talking about how much he loved his wife and it, because all the news cameras were yeah. around. And I was just like, yeah, I'm sorry. I do not buy this. This feels like bad theater class that yeah. I have been in
it's
so many
true.
Times.
If something happened to Stephanie, I wouldn't want anything in my house or anything going on. I would just, you know, there's no world where I would... I mean, I don't even like to show my kids' faces on the internet. I'd much
right.
less be, you know, parading yeah. somebody through yeah. our house. And but, you know, of course, I still, like everyone else, probably everyone else, wonder why those kids of his believe he's innocent.
Yeah, because they were likable. That was what he had going for him as I watched that documentary, is like his kids seemed... It's like, how would he have raised these normal kids if he was this monster? That's what kept me going. But yeah, at the end, he's like, well, I've run out of ideas. I guess I'll go to jail. That's yeah. such an admittance of guilt.
I'd be like, no. Yeah. Now what?
Yes.
Now what?
Someone yeah. do something.
Yeah, because I'm free and I want to make sure I'm free and I did not do this. And so now what is next on the agenda? Yeah.
Although... And just to devil's advocate, because we did on My Favorite Murder talk to that lawyer of mm-hmm. his.
I liked him.
I liked him a lot. He's super smart. And we had him on, but I was like, so did we totally get it wrong? Like, and I said, is there a ton we don't know that wasn't in the documentary? And he said, there's a ton no one knows about that trial itself and how it was such a, like, a miscarriage of justice as a trial. That, like, that's all I'm talking about, is that he did not in any way get a fair trial. Mm-hmm. And there was so much prejudice and there was so much people found, like, literally in all these different ways. It's like, you're a rich guy, so fuck you, you did it. Yeah. We heard about you hiring sex workers or gay sex workers, you did it. Like, all these things all the way down.
It's more so the other woman in your life fell down the stairs and died, you did it.
When it got to that part, I was just like, I'm sorry. Wow. Like, I don't, how?
You know,
am I just so middle class that we never had second stories in our house?
You know what I have in my office and I always have in my hands when I do a podcast is a gavel. And you know what?
Adjourned.
Guilty.
That's an actual.
Yeah. I have a gavel always when I'm doing a podcast in my hands.
You've always wanted a courtroom show.
I have.
Judge Tig.
Oh, wait, can I just tell you one more documentary to recommend in case guys are looking for
them? And then I have
them?
One. And then I have one.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
What do you mean in case we're looking for them? That's what we do with our show. Okay.
Yeah.
You're like, we're not open to suggestions. Sorry. Yeah. My very favorite one is, God damn it. No, I'm not going to be able to remember. It's the one, it's called The Cruise. About Timothy Speed Levitch. He's the Gray Line bus tour guide in New York City. Did you ever see that one? It's black and white.
Mm-mm.
It is. Wow. It's truly one of my top three documentaries ever.
Okay.
And it's unbelievable. It just is. It's a study of this one man. Shut up. I also love Watership Down. Was that a documentary?
Mm-hmm. We're still looking for documentaries.
The best one, I think of all time that is my favorite, that is so weird and bizarre, is Cat Dancers. You ever?
Oh, yes.
You've seen that, Karen?
Mm-hmm.
I love, and I did not, I mean, they allude to what happens. It's, but it is, you gotta see it, Tig. I don't want to spoil it for anyone, but it is hilarious and mysterious and everything that I think they were trying to make that Tiger King out to be.
Yes.
Like every time everyone was freaking, remember Tiger King Fever? Good Lord, that thing was huge. Everyone was talking about it and I just was like, cat dancers, enough with the tigers. Cat Dancers is the best. And that's all I'll say. There's no payoff.
Cat Dancers is amazing.
But you got to watch it, Tig. It's so great. Okay. Even if you have to find it and pay money. Good hard-earned money to see it.
Worth it.
Okay.
Also, there's the Errol Morris documentary, all the Errol Morris ones, but there's Mr. Death, which is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Errol Morris, Mr. Death, which is about the guy, he's a guy who has basically made the electric chair.
Wow.
Or like refurbished it. You have to see it. And that's
he
updated it. And then the other one, which is about pet cemeteries, that's called Gates of Heaven, and it's Errol Morris. And that one, it's like a late 70s character study, and it's, you just can't believe these people. It's the greatest.
Okay. I can't wait.
And there's a Temple Grandin one, the that came up with the
hugger?
The comforting way to slaughter cows, which was the reason I got one of those autism blankets, a heavy blanket. That's basically what they do, is they put a heavy blanket on a cow. It's sad, but it's very interesting.
They squeeze them.
You squeeze them, and they feel warm and comfortable in the very end.
Then you kill it.
Well,
I am a vegan person.
I know you are, and you're the reason I still dabble with it.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
You should dabble. Dabble away.
Well, I live in an area where dabbling with veganism is just a hop, skip, and a jump away. Usually I jump. But yeah, I'm trying, Tig. I'm trying to... It's taken this long.
We're all trying.
We're every goddamn trying. Day.
Every day. We're all trying.
So Tig, you don't hit the road and cheat on with some chicken fingers anymore? You are 100%.
I was real sold on the chicken finger menu diet. for, I would say, the first 15 years of my stand-up career.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, and it's funny because people always ask that of, you know, what about the pandemic? Did you cheat in the pandemic?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's that idea that I'm vegan against my will.
Yeah.
You know, that I'm like waiting till no one's looking.
Right.
And I'm just going to go get a cheeseburger.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And it's the, you know, after I was so sick many years ago, I just shifted my diet so much and learned so much. In fact, during the pandemic, I got a plant-based nutrition certification.
Really?
I know, yes.
Wow.
I love that.
And I've helped my next-door neighbor who had high blood pressure, and through the pandemic, we would Zoom weekly, and he didn't end up having to get on medication. I've helped comedians. And anyway, so I'm like,
I can help you too.
And I can help you. Truly. I mean, I am sold on it. It changed my life. And there's no moment in my life with the knowledge that I have that I'm ever thinking, well, I'll just get a cheese ball, a wheel of cheese and some beef.
I've been sold on it ever since your pals, your Beth and Rick, who I miss a lot, but he got healthy that way long ago.
He cured his cancer with raw food.
And I was like, I believe it and I'm sold. And then I still go out and get my wheel of cheese.
I know you do, Chris.
I roll it all the way home.
With a little stick.
But I did for a while think I wanted to start what I want to do. I did a streaming episode of talking about plant-based food and showing people easy recipes and stuff. But I was thinking of spending a good part of my time consulting people on Zoom. And then I was like, I don't know. I don't know if I can do that, actually. But I, you know, it's like people are so interested and they're like, they have a foot in. And I just want to be like, there is a way to do it without you can eat good, delicious, healthy food and be plant-based.
Well, maybe I'll come over and you can just teach me and then I can see your children's grown-up faces.
Yes, they are gigantic humans now, but I would love that. If you ever want information, let me know.
I will.
Let's all go stand in Tig's kitchen and have her.
I would be thrilled.
Well, the idea that you got certified is impressive, but it also is like, oh, she means business. Like this is a true interest. And like,
I hadn't had an interest like this since I started stand up. I got so into it. And it's so fascinating when you find out the power and the healing power of food.
Yeah.
And then it just becomes this puzzle of just connecting everything to heal or to boost or help or it's really fascinating. And it's a very basic idea, but it's like if you put the wrong gasoline in your tank, the car breaks or dies.
Yeah.
And if you put in the high octane,
boom,
it'll run.
And that's why I'm 100% interested. And I really want you to teach me. Because you look great. You're like energetic.
Yeah, you do.
You look like a kid again. You look like you look like Tom Cruise as a kid again.
Well,
you look
like a
Russian tarot card reader again.
Well, thank you. And you both look wonderful.
I mean, we set you up to say that.
Yeah.
But it's been, we're out of time, but it was so great to see you again, my friend, Tiggity.
Yeah, thank you so much for doing this, Tig.
Thanks for having me. I can't stress enough how much I adore both of you and hope that I can see you in the flesh again.
I'm gonna come over in my kitchen. I will.
I would love to.
I'll call you
genuinely
right after this.
Please do.
Any plugs?
I'm doing a bunch of tour dates. And nice. And then, you know, the road goes on forever, but I'm at tignotaro.com and I have very unreliable social media out there as well. But tignotaro.com, you can check out my tour dates because I've got a bunch. But thanks for having me.
She really knows how to do stand-up comedy, everybody. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just trust.
I do stand-up.
Yeah. She does. She really does.
You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride? DYN
AR!
This has been an Exactly Right production.
Produced by Casey O'Brien.
Mixed by John Bradley.
Artwork by Chris Fairbanks.
Theme song by Karen Kilgariff.
Follow the show on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at DYNAR Podcast. That's DYNAR Podcast.
For more information, go to exactlyrightmedia.com.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Honk, honk.
Follow Do You Need a Ride on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen so you never miss an episode.
If you like what you hear, rate and review the show.
And visit the exactlyrightstore.com to purchase Do You Need a Ride merch.